This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar reports. Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I welcome Chris Riegel of Scholar to observe the world of supply chain for high end. This is the electronic components and the digital components that have been in short supply or not available or extremely expensive to procure from overseas manufacturer. The headline, Samsung reportedly cuts component orders amid global inflation woes. Subhead, the tech giant is apparently scaling back its procurement orders across product lines. Chris, a very good evening to you. This translates into what you would expect at the beginning of what is called a recession, a slowdown. The consumer pulls back on demand, and therefore the manufacturer has to be very cautious about inventory. Samsung in between, looking for components. Is this an early sign that we're correcting the supply chain woes with a consumer slowdown? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. This is demand destruction in its most classic form, which is if the customer is paying $5, $6, $7 a gallon for gas, then maybe they're not replacing their smartphone or their TV or their tablet every 2 years, but maybe they stretch it to every 3 or 4. So you're seeing in the consumer electronics sector, Samsung and others that are pumping the brakes very aggressively now to say, we're moving from a period of market stabilization after all the disruptions to supply chain that caused problems and availability to now demand destruction, and a cut of 50% in supply chain orders is a massive, massive cut, and that will have further reverberations throughout industry.
At the same time, I observe the supply chain has been under severe pressure for as long as the pandemic has lasted and continues. We've talked about container rates shipping from Asia and also the long line of container ships. You were my first colleague to note that when you flew over the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Does this cutback in demand by the consumer, meaning a cutback in demand by Samsung, does that lead to curing the supply chain disruptions?
So far, no. As it goes to shipping, what you saw as an example, an average of container cost might have been $4,600 to move a container from Shanghai to Long Beach pre-pandemic. That spiked at $45,000 to $50,000 at the top of the shipping bubble. Now it's somewhere in between $15,000 and $20,000. So the shipping costs have receded quite a bit, but they're still a multiple, 4 or 5 times what they normally would be, and that translates into this inflationary cycle. But you are seeing significant demand destruction. In many of the suppliers in China, you're seeing for the first time a two-headed monster. One is shortage of particular components at spike prices. Others, the components that are available, are now being discounted 20, 30, 40% to try to gain orders as the global economy slowed.
Now, a puzzle about China. We have anecdotes only. It's not transparent. But repeatedly over these last weeks, there have been shutdowns in the two critical cities of Shanghai and Beijing. Let's focus on Shanghai because it's also part of the supply chain. I was understanding that those shutdowns were causing problems for supply because the factories were either shut or they were operating under extreme conditions and people were shut up in their homes. Has that influenced the pricing? Has that influenced the supply? Does that now get cured? These questions about factory shutdowns. If they're cutting back on their production, does that mean they've solved what appears to be a disruption ordered by Beijing?
John, it's still very disruptive without a lot of prediction where the shutdowns have started to ease, but the temporary closures for testing, a day or two here, a day or two there, are still very, very unpredictable. So there's really no insight and no long-term clarity on what that situation will be going forward. The bigger disruptions are starting to lessen, but the micro disruptions are still going on, and it just makes things unpredictable in that marketplace.
Now, employment in China is also non-transparent. The closest I've had is a statistic a couple of weeks old that the unemployment rate is 20% in the younger workers. These are people either coming out of high school or college, the 18 to 25 or older zone. I don't have numbers from China older than that. So I come to employment in the U.S. This from the Wall Street Journal. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell acknowledged that it will be harder now to bring inflation down without hurting the labor market because so many factors driving inflation are out of the Fed's control, such as the war in Ukraine or supply chain disruptions. We've addressed the supply chain disruption. The war in Ukraine is fog of war. I do mention that there is much talk that Europe needs this settled, and I'm thinking of Paris, Berlin, and Rome need this settled, and perhaps in conversation with Mr. Zelensky of Ukraine, there will be at least talks of a ceasefire. However, I come to this idea of slowdown in the jobs market in the U.S. We're told again and again that there are millions of jobs, sometimes the number 11 million is used, open. Therefore, there's no slowdown in employment. Mr. Powell indicated we'll go from 3.7 to 4.3, which doesn't sound disastrous. You have sent me news over these last weeks of layoffs or slowdown in hiring in Silicon Valley. So are we going to see employment slowdown in patches of our economy, the high end, or those knowledge workers who've worked at home? Are we going to see it across the board, which we usually associate with a recession, large factory layoffs?
At the moment, I can certainly speak to tech. Tech is hemorrhaging people out. You're seeing major, major layoffs across sector, but also a very weird condition where as there are significant layoffs going on, you still see shortages in people, whether that's people removing themselves from the workforce or people just saying, I only want to work remote and don't want to come into the office. Tech is downsizing. Retail is going to start to downsize now as the retail numbers in this past quarter have been very bad. I think you'll also see banking in retail banking start to downsize. So it seems to be started with tech, but is now broadening, and then the numbers in tech are very significant.
Home to Ohio. You are headquarters in Dayton, Ohio, and I count on you, Buckeye, to help me understand not only the Senate race now engaged between J.D. Vance and Tim Ryan, two sparkling young actors for the future, but also the change in opinion in Ohio counties. You're from Dayton, the center of the country. You've got an unusual mix of three major cities, Cleveland, Dayton, and Cincinnati. But I'm looking at learning about Mahoning, Portage, Stark, Summit, and Trumbull counties. That, I believe, is the eastern corridor of Ohio. At one time, that was a reliable union vote, meaning true blue. That has changed profoundly. What changed it, Chris? Because the economy has been strong for some time. Is it the Rust Belt? But that was many decades ago. Why is it changing?
John, I think two big things. One, certainly that's heart of Rust Belt, where after 2008, you saw many of the big auto and heavy industrial jobs leave Ohio, moving to China, moving elsewhere. Two, that northeastern section of Ohio is also very rich in gas and oil fields. So within the shale and the fracking developments that have happened in the U.S., that was a very, very popular and very growing industry till the current administration has kind of further saddled that. So you have people saddled with the challenge of $5 and $6 gas and also knowing that there's energy right underneath our feet that we can't tap into.
So this is a disenchantment with the emphasis on renewables, quite leaving out the fact that fossil fuels are going to be with us for some decades, certainly till 2050. It's part of the matrix. I understand better now. They didn't change their opinions. They changed their circumstances changed, and they're looking for new answers. So I go back to the national picture. You travel broadly across the country. Are you seeing a diminution at the airport? Are you seeing empty seats on the aircraft? You've talked about them being full.
The aircraft are still full, and prices for airlines are breathtakingly high. So you're seeing the inflation hit that sector very, very hard as well.
So what we have then is the beginnings of a slowdown. Is there anything in this slowdown that you haven't seen before, Chris? Is there any unusual twist in it? Because a pandemic creates all kinds of never seen before situations.
I think the unusual twist is the amount of liquidity that's in the system that's now being removed. So previously, in prior prior economic changes, the level of liquidity had never been what it was recently, in that tamping down from the Fed, the increases in interest rates and others with the amount of debt, with the amount of liquidity that's out there, brings some unusual circumstances to the table.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. The early moments of a slowdown or something new? Question mark. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.